You know, the last thing that most of us want to do is admit that we have a weakness. Our human nature says, hey, I can do anything. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me physically. There's nothing wrong with me emotionally. There's nothing wrong with me spiritually. That's why it's so hard for many of us to go to the doctor. We keep thinking we're going to get better. We will get better. I can, you know, we can grit our teeth and get through this. And there is a lot of people, and I'm glad you're all not this way, but there's a lot of people in our congregation that will go to the doctor only as a last resort. They're dying, and they don't see any way out of it, so they go to the doctor. That's also the reason why it's hard to get a good person to listen to the gospel. It's hard to get a good person saved because it's hard to get them to understand that they're a sinner. And you can't get a lost person saved until they realize that they're lost and they need to be saved from something. And so we think about weaknesses in certain ways, but God thinks about it in a different way. We think about weaknesses as a disadvantage. And God says, no, weakness is an advantage. We wish we were stronger. So when we say, man, if we were stronger, we could do more for God. And God says, I wish you were weaker. Because if you admit that you were weaker, then I could use you more. And so we're going to look at the Apostle Paul tonight. Most of us know his story, but he gives a little testimony there in chapter 12. And I want to look at it and just make 3 points about how we can be used of God more. I've entitled my message, Strength in Weakness. Strength in Weakness. So, point number one, accept that you do have weaknesses. And we're in good company because Paul had one. He called his a thorn in the flesh. And even though he talks about it, we don't really know what it was. Some people think Paul's thorn was an outside thorn, that it was the opposition and the persecution that he faced, and that was always in front of him. The Bible tells us that he was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned and left dead. He was in and out of jail over and over. He was shipwrecked 3 different times. And they think that it was those different persecutions that he suffered that was his thorn in the flesh, that he asked God to take away the persecution, take away the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. Others say, no, his thorn in the flesh was on the inside. It was some kind of physical ailment. Some people think it was his eyes. They think his eyes gave him trouble. And again, they think that because in some of the letters that he actually wrote a verse, or he actually penned a verse or two, and he says, you see how such large letters I have to write. And they look at a verse like that and say, well, his thorn in the flesh was that he couldn't see very good. Other people think that he had seizures at time that interrupted his preaching and his teaching. Others say it was the memories that he had of what he did to Christians and how he persecuted Christians. And so we don't know what it was. And by not knowing what it was, it helps us identify with the Apostle Paul. If the Apostle Paul could have a weakness, if the Apostle Paul could have something in his life that he didn't want, if the Apostle Paul could overcome that thing in his life and serve God, then so can we. So we need to admit that we have a weakness. And notice who gave Paul's his. He says, there was given unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Not buffet, like some of you like to go to and eat all you can, but buffet means to beat up. He said, God, and he said, God allowed this to come into my life. I wouldn't have this messenger of Satan in my life, but God gave it to me. That's what it means there. There was given to me by God a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And so it very similar to what we read about in the Old Testament in the life of Job. God allowed Satan to come into Job's life to test him, to take different things away from Job. Satan's intent was to show God that Job would turn against him if God removed the hedge of protection about him and took away some of the blessings that God had blessed Job with. And so Satan's intent was to tear Job down, to get him discouraged, to get him to turn against God. But God's intent in letting Satan come into Job's life was to build him up, was to be a blessing in Job's life. And so, whatever the weakness is in our life, as a Christian, know that God sent it, that God allowed it. Again, a messenger of Satan may be the one delivering it, but, and again, Satan hasn't changed. His desire is to tear us down. His desire is to destroy our testimony. But God's desire, as he lets that come into our life, is to build us up, to teach us to trust him. The purpose in Paul's life is repeated twice in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, the Apostle Paul got to do something that nobody else got to do. He talks about it in verses 1 through 5. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Most Bible scholars think that Paul was talking about himself there, that he was caught up to the third heaven. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Only God knows. But he said, I saw things there. I saw things there that it's not lawful for a man to utter. What he was saying is, words don't exist. I mean, I just can't describe what I saw. And so he was in a real danger of being spiritually proud, of being spiritually conceited. I mean, think of his testimony. Hey, you'll never guess what happened to me. I got caught up into paradise. The same place that Jesus told the thief on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paul says, I think most Bible scholars think he was talking about himself. I knew a man. He got caught up to paradise. He saw wonderful things in paradise. And it would have been easy for Paul to become very proud. And so he says there in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. And lest people heard my testimony of being caught up into paradise and began to be able to ascribe to me something special, to make me something special because God caught me up to paradise, lest that happen to me. God sent this messenger of Satan to buffet me. I got this thorn in the flesh. God allowed it. And God's intent was, instead of people building me up and thinking I'm something special, is to remind me that I need to depend on God. I need to depend on him. I need to look to him. So, admit that we have a weakness. Number two, know that you need it. Know that we need it. I need to know that I need those weaknesses that God allows to come into my life. You need to know that you need those weaknesses that God allows to come into your life. Again, our attitude toward weakness is different from God's. We want it taken away. Paul says here in these verses, I asked the Lord three different times. Whatever this thing was in Paul's life, he says, I went to God in prayer on three different times. And I said, God, please take this away from me. And again, Paul doesn't spell it out in the Bible, but he was a man just like us, subject to like passions like we are. I can just imagine what he said. Lord, if you take this away, I could be a better preacher. If you take this away, I could be a better missionary. Lord, if you take this away, I could be a better teacher. Lord, if you take this away, I could be a better church builder. Lord, if you just take this away, I could be a better Christian. If you could just remove this from my life, and I'm sure he prayed, Lord, I don't want you to take it away tomorrow or the next day. I want you to take it away right now. I want you to take it away today, and I want you to take it away forever. I don't want you to ever let it come back into my life. And that's what Paul prayed. And we do the same thing. When God sends something into our life, a weakness or a circumstance, a sickness, a heartache of some kind, whatever it is, we go to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, please take it away. Heal me from this disease. Take away this problem I have in my life with my relationships. Help me fix this financial problem I have in my life. Help, just whatever the weakness is, I'd like you to take it away, not tomorrow or the next day. I'd like you to take it away today, and I'd like you to take it away forever. And we give God the same argument. I could be a better Christian if you took it away. I could be a better Sunday school teacher if you took it away. I could just do better things for you and more things with you if you just take it away. And Paul says, well, God came to me after I prayed these three times and asked him to take it away. And he said, Paul, I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to take it away. You need this weakness in your life, and you're going to have it forever. And so I want you to quit asking me, because I am not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you grace to endure it, and my grace is sufficient, and I'm going to be there with you in this weakness. In fact, God says to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Not sinless perfection when we think of the word perfect, but my strength is made whole. My strength is made mature. My strength is able to show itself in its fullest measure when you are weak. And so, Paul said, and again, here's what we want. We want God to take those things away from our life. We want to be self-reliant. And yet God told Paul no, because if I take it away and you don't have that weakness and you're self-reliant, everything that you set out to do, you'll set out to do it in your own strength. I don't want you to do it in your own strength. I want you to do it in my strength. I want you to depend on me. And so we need to accept that we have weaknesses. We need to know that we need it. And then number three, we need to take pleasure in it. Now, this is one of those things that's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. It is. To take pleasure in our weaknesses. Paul would tell us tonight, don't boast about your achievements. Boast about your weaknesses. Paul could have said, hey, look at all the churches I've started. Look at all the books of the Bible I've written. Look at all the miles that I've traveled. Look at all those that I've seen baptized. Look at all the preacher boys that I've called into the ministry. Look at all the people that were saved under my preaching. And not one time in the writings of Paul do you find him boasting about anything like that. what you find Paul talking about over and over and over again is how weak that he is. The weaknesses that are in his life, his faults, his failures. And he did that because he realized that when he was weak, the power of God rested on him. God's power can't rest on those who think they can do it themselves. His power can't rest upon those who think they are strong. His power can't rest upon those who are self-reliant. But a Christian who says, I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure I can do it. I don't think I can. I don't think I have the strength. I don't think I have the intellect. I don't think I have the ability. And those are the Christians that God comes to and say, I got you right where I want you. Now I can use you. And that's where Paul got to. He said, I asked God to take it away, and God said no. And so Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities because I know when I am weak, then God's power can rest on me. So tonight, you want God's power on your life? You want to operate with the power that God wants to give you? Then get to that point in your Christian service where you say, I can't do it. I can't. I don't know. Don't know how. I don't know how. I just don't have the ability to do it. And then say, but God, if you want me to, I'll do it. But I got to depend on you. I can't depend on myself because I can't do it myself. But I can do it with you working through me. When I am weak, then I am strong, because then God can work through me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. Thank you that you showed in his life that you work through weak people. And oh, how you blessed him, how you blessed his ministry, how you blessed his efforts for you. And I pray, Father, that we would have that same mindset, that we would just know that without you, we can do nothing, and that we are weak, and that we are unable to do the things that you've called us to do. But, Father, when we admit that to ourselves and to you, then you'll strengthen us with your power, and you'll accomplish things far greater, far, far greater than we could accomplish on our own. Again, I pray tonight, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray that you'll help them see their sin, how that sin separates them from you, how Jesus paid for that sin on Calvary, and, Father, how you ask them, you invite them to come to you. Whosoever will may come, and if they'll call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And so, again, if there's just one in our midst that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of their sin tonight and help them come to Jesus. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.